Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
So today we are continuing our study that we are doing for the month of July, this series that we've entitled Lessons from the Life of Esther. Today is part two, and this is our opening take. In the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse 13, it speaks of God, and it says this, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsels of the froward is carried headlong. And I like that description. Maybe another way of putting it is, man is not going to outfigure God and pull one over on him. Amen. God's wisdom, God's power will always undermine the minds of the selfish and cunning of this world. His skill and power will always overtop. I'm going to use a climbing illustration. Will always overtop the ascent of all evil. The enemies of the church of God and of his people can never do more than what the Lord permits. They cannot go a hair's breadth beyond the divine license. And when they are permitted to do their worst, when the enemies of God are permitted to do their worst, there is always a weak point about all that they do. The wicked carry about the weapons of their own destruction, and the reason why is because God is in charge. And when the evil, when they rage against, when they give their most against the Most High God, the Lord ends up bringing good out of what was meant for evil, and God's faithful people are blessed. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we take time now in our worship to consider the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit to attend our time. Lord, please grant us wisdom and understanding. Grant us your spirit to think and practically apply in our lives the principles that we cover. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to Esther chapter 4. That's where we're going today. In this series, obviously, we're not covering all the details in the story, but we are going to cover some important highlights from the story. Esther chapter 4, and I'd like to begin our reading with verse number 4. So Esther 4, beginning with verse 4, the Bible says, So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it what? Not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman, had promised to pay the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should do what? That she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai, notice what Mordecai is going to give her some godly counsel and advice. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from what? Another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And so, last Sabbath, we covered some introductory and background material in this story of an orphan girl named Hadassah becoming Queen Esther of the Persian Empire. With this, we discussed our opening thought that God places his people in just the right place for doing his work. That was our main point last week. What does God do? He places his faithful people, and by the way, the emphasis is there that we're talking about his faithful people, people who are following in the footsteps and according to God's will and his plan. He places them in the right place. Do you believe that? And for what purpose? He places them in the right place for his work. So that was our main point. We discussed this in last week's message, and we see that God placed Esther in the right place. He placed Esther in the king's court and in the king's heart. And he placed Mordecai in the king's gate and in the information center that took in most of the information of the then known world. And so by the singular providences of God, these two individuals, Esther and Mordecai, became the most efficient instruments to the glory of God and the salvation of his people that the then known world at that time had ever seen. Mordecai in his place would have been little use without Esther in her place. And Esther in her place could have rendered no aid had it not been for Mordecai in his. So God places his people in the right place for what purpose? For the doing of his work. And I believe the reason why you and I are here today is because we have followed God's leading in our lives and we have come to worship God during the sacred hours of the Sabbath. I believe that he has each one of us here in the right place. For what purpose? for doing God's work. And so now we move on into the next thought that we'd like to discuss. We're going to discuss two thoughts today. And the first one is this. As God has placed you in the right place, do not separate yourself and your interests from your people and your God. So what's the point? As He has placed us in the right place, let us not separate ourselves and our interests from that of God's people and God Himself and His plan and His mission for this world. How do we see that in the text? Well, Mordecai sent the message to Esther. He said, do not, you know, so messages go back and forth. And, you know, Esther finds out Mordecai is fasting in sackcloth and ashes, and he's at the entryway of the king's gate, and that doesn't look very good for the king, nor for him or his people. And she wants to know what's going on. She finds out, and so what does she do? She sends Mordecai new clothes and says, hey, dress up. And he refused it. And then he sends a copy of the decree. He sends the law. She's informed on the situation, and he asks her to go in before the king, and what's her response? She actually doesn't say, no, she's not going to do it. She just informs him, hey, there's this law that has to do with going in before the king. And if I do this, there's a chance that, you know, I'm out. And so then he gives the advice. And the first part of the advice is, think not, that is, do not think with yourself, that is in your own mind, that you will escape this law even though you are in the king's house. Do not think that you are safe if all the rest of the Jews are put to death. Do not think that just because you're in the plush palace away from God's people, do not think that just because of that you're good to go. And so Mordecai explains how she herself is not safe and she must not separate herself from God's people and do nothing. Along with this, I think Mordecai explained pretty well, know that you are the favored one of the king. You are in a position that is one of the highest in the land. And in that position, please do not just look to yourself. Do not leave your people in peril or say in your mind, God will take care of it all while you sit in the palace hiding away in seclusion. God has placed you in an amazing position. You are in the right place. So do not separate yourself from your people at this trying hour, and by thus doing, separate yourself from your God. Your people's lives are at stake, and so is yours. And so he says, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house. And so let's bring this idea home. Are you ready? If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and trust and obey Him as your Lord, and you are living and serving faithfully to His cause, you are in the right place. You are in the right place to do His work. And in the process of that, challenging times will come to His people. Is that true? Yes. Challenging times will come to His people. What kind of things? Well, let me go through a quick list here. The challenge of sometimes the saints may not act so saintly. Has that ever happened in the church? Does that bring challenges to the local church? Sometimes in the hubbub of life, I'm going to call it that, the hubbub of life, the busyness steps in front of sharing the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' message, which is our mission and our main task. So, does that bring challenges to the church when just the hubbub of life becomes our main task and mission rather than the mission of sharing the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' messages in our communities? Sometimes there's the challenge of theological falsehoods that seep into the church. A lot of times it seeps in through our universities and then creeping compromise into our church. Sometimes there's the challenge of members becoming discouraged when they see faithful pastors and teachers and members being marginalized because they have stood and done the right thing. The church may go sideways sometimes for a spell when leaders in high positions, Queen Esther was in a high position. Sometimes leaders in high positions become, I'm going to say, high-minded and heavy-handed and make decisions that mimic worldly policies and practices rather than obeying the simplicity and power of the Word of God. This then usually produces lack of support financially, and that ends up affecting the troops on the ground level, which at times causes angst amongst the brethren. And we get cranky. And oftentimes it leads to late night meetings when we have to get up early in the morning and head to work the next day. So do trials and challenges come to God's people? Trials and challenges may come. They do come. And they have come. This is nothing new, by the way. Do we think that the devil and his imps of darkness are going to tuck their tails and walk from the battle the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus? Do we think the devil's going to do that? I mean, we might think that, but it wouldn't be true. The devil and his imps of darkness, you know what they're doing? They are redoubling their efforts and will do all that they can to get God's people and the church off track. The good news is that God has his people, his church, in his hands, just as he did in the days of Esther. He has his people in his hands today. Not only that, but he is stronger and wiser than the devil and all his crew put together. You remember the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. How many of you are thankful that there's a whole lot more God's grace than sin and trials and challenges on planet Earth? Amen. The Bible also says a wonderful promise. I like claiming it. It's an individual promise. James 4:7, you know that one? When challenges and trials come, we can submit ourselves to God, and then what? Resists the devil, and what does he do? He flees from us. The Bible also says there in the next verse that we can draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. So even though trials and challenges come along our way and at times stump us, these things have not caught God off guard, and he has already set things in motion to handle everything that the devil does. This was true and evident in the days of Esther, and it is still true today. Thus, in the process of the great controversy battle ramping up, and it is, know and understand that if you are faithful to God and His cause, you are in the right place for the purpose of doing His work. So, with the help of God, let us not sit back, but let us do His work where we are. And in that, do not think about staying hidden in the palace when the salvation of the people are at stake. And remember, your and my salvation lies not in our separation from Christ and His church, but in our active union with them. Over the sea of life, could we use that as an example? Over the sea of life, the ship which carries our Lord and His faithful followers is what gets us to our final destination in life. And so the question for the church today is, are we going to set sail in a separate boat from Christ? Or are we going to try to swim across the sea in our own strength and wisdom? If we think that's a good idea, then all we have is looking to self. And if that's all we have, then we can expect disaster in the tempestuous challenges and trials that this old world is going through. If your interests are to be separated from Christ's interests, you will have to supply something for yourself. What kind of things will you have to supply for yourself if we live for self and just do our own thing outside of God's will? If your interests are separated from Christ's interests, you will have to supply yourself your own atonement, your own righteousness, your own spiritual life, your own spiritual food, and you will have to make a heaven for yourself. And how well will that work out? Not very well. And such will only lead to our eternal ruin. And so this is the thought. As God has placed you and I in the right place, let us not separate ourselves and our interests from those of God's people and God Himself. The next thought is this. In God's work and in God's cause, He can do okay without you and I. What's the point? Yeah, in God's cause, in His plans, He can do okay without me. And He can do okay without you. And that's probably an understatement. I mentioned something like that a long time ago at another church and had a member of the church come up to me and she said, "Well, Pastor, that doesn't make me feel very good." And I said, "Well, it doesn't make me feel very good either." The question, whether we follow God or not, is God's plans going to succeed? Yes. So what does Mordecai tell Esther? Mordecai not only let Esther know that things that the king's house would not keep her safe, but that if she held her peace at that time, then God's deliverance for His people would arise from where? Another place. Esther, if the deliverance and saving of God's people does not come through your faithfulness and help, it will come, but it will be through someone else or some other way. Esther, God wants you, God wants to use you But he can take care of things without you. And the same is true today. God has called and brought forth this great Advent movement to be a witness to the entire world with the everlasting gospel in connection to the last movements of the three angels' messages. And he has called and placed you and I today where we are at to do his final work here in Holland, Michigan. God wants to use us. Amen. He wants to use us. But if we, by our choices and the way we live our lives, make it clear that our interests are elsewhere, he can use someone else or use some other way. He can do without us. The deliverance and saving of the people in our territory will arise from another place if it does not come through us. Now, does God want to use us? Absolutely. God wants to use each one of us today where he has placed us. And he will use us as we are in harmony with his will. And the same is true for the membership of every church throughout the Michigan Conference and around the world. The same is true amongst whether you are a layperson, whether you are a leader in the church, a leader in the school, a leader in the conference office, a leader at the union office or our division offices, which make up the general conferences. The same is true for all, from the bottom to the top. And sometimes it's a challenge for those who are in higher positions of responsibility, because higher positions sometimes lead men and women to think too highly of themselves. And of course, we have never been guilty of that, huh? Then oftentimes decisions are made from the platform of political expediency rather than from Bible truth and holy standards. In such settings, God will finish his work, but he will do it. I heard somebody say one time, he will do it in spite of us, when he wants to do it through us. Deliverance and salvation for people will come from another place if his workers and the members of the church are not faithful and obedient to God's word. But Esther was faithful. She was faithful and obedient in the great crisis of her day. The text in the story of Esther never says she was thinking about hunkering down in the palace and doing nothing and hoping for the best. The text does not say she was thinking that. What the text says is that Mordecai gave her the counsel to not think that. And she didn't. Her and her helpers fasted and prayed for 3 days. And she went in before the king. She did the right thing. In the right place, at the right time, did the right thing. She followed the godly counsel, and God's people were saved. She followed God's leading and decided that anywhere with God, she could safely go. And the enemy's efforts were crushed. And in the story, the Bible says, and God's people had a feast and a very good day. And may that be the case for each one of us here. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the privilege that we've had to worship you this day. And Father, we stand in the church with our heads bowed once again, and we are recommitting ourselves to you. We praise you and thank you for placing us where you have. And with this, Lord, we ask that you will help us to walk in your ways, to do the work that you would have us do. And Father, in challenging times, help us to be honest with you and ourselves and with the church, and help us to be able to work faithfully according to your will, according to your word and your commands. Keep us on this platform, no matter what happens in the future. And we ask these things in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and let the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.